Good morning. It's good to see you all. And boy, it's hard to believe how time flies. We were here 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday we missed because of the weather. And my goodness, 2 weeks has already gone by. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 6, verses 32 through 37. And when you get to that place in your Bible, I would like to ask you if you would please stand as I read from God's Word. Today I'm going to be preaching on, Do You Hunger? Excuse me. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you, that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word today. And Lord God, I pray that today our focus will be you. I pray, God, that we will crave you, that we will hunger for your word, for you, for righteousness, to live by the Spirit. That, Father, we will desire to change so many different things in each and every one of our lives. Father, and I ask today, God, that you will strengthen us, guide us, and help us to do just that. Now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word, God, come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and the glory, and all the praise, for we ask it in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there's a lot of difference in when we talk about being hungry. A lot of us would probably tend to go back and think about when we're hungry physically. And I want to kind of use that a little bit as an illustration this morning, because you know that in the physical sense of the body, you know there's times that you're going to be hungry, which is probably for me, it's a lot of times I get hungry. And you know that when you get hungry, where do you normally first feel it? Do you feel it up in your head? No, you feel it down in your stomach. It starts there in the stomach, and your stomach will begin to growl. And if you let it go over a little bit of time, you ever heard someone say you get hunger pangs? You kind of get that feeling down there in the belly. And if you let the hunger continue to go on long enough, what starts to happen? Some people say that they feel lightheaded and dizzy. Others get grouchy. I never get grouchy, I don't think, anyway. But a lot of people have a lot of variety of things that happen as they get hungry in the physical sense. Well, how do you curb that? Well, you go to the refrigerator, you go to the cabinet or whatever, and you find the food to put inside your physical body to help knock that craving. Because if any of you have ever been hungry for quite a bit of time, you know that when you sit down in front of food, it smells good, it looks good, and boy, does it ever taste good. I went through this yesterday. I helped a friend with a funeral yesterday. She owns a funeral home and she called me. So I had breakfast at 6 a.m. and we didn't eat yesterday until 2 p.m. So I'd gone, and I tell you what, the ladies at that church where we had the funeral, they were cooking. And them smells kept wafting through them doors and drift down the hallway. And I don't know, it's kind of like the devil was just having his way with my senses, like he was blowing them smells toward my nose. And I thought, man, I can't wait to eat. And finally, When we got done with our day, Joni said, "Well, you know what? I'm going to take you guys out to lunch." She said, "Let's go to Benny's at Marion." I said, "That sounds good." And I'm telling you, we got in the door and sat down, and that food smelled so good. I was ready to gnaw off a corner of the table we sitting at. And but when that food come out, there wasn't hardly a word spoken at that time. We started consuming the food, and you know what? After we ate the food, we felt better. We was laughing a little bit more and a little more talkative. And we noticed that our strength had been increased, and we felt so much better, and we were ready to go out and finish our day. Well, in the same way, in the spirit realm, if we don't hunger after God, we can have a side effect if things begin to take place in our life. You know, God made us because He desires fellowship with us. And as I read in the scripture, Jesus said that He was the bread of life, and anybody who comes to Him and receives Him as Lord and Savior, basically, you'll never want anything else. When you have Jesus, you will be satisfied, and you will never have a craving for anything of the world, because for me, Jesus satisfies every part of my life. He satisfies the desires of my heart, and He gives me an overabundance of joy, and I love the fellowship. So every day we should hunger after the Lord. And the ways that we do that I want to share with you this morning are that we have a promise to those of us that are hungry. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So see, God's desire is that we want to do the right things, that we're doing the Father's will, that we're seeking God for every decision, for every aspect of our life, for everything that we do in our home, everything that we do in our jobs, everything that we do at church, financial things, whatever it may be, that we seek the Lord first. And I believe that when we come to God and we ask Him to be the head of everything in our life, I believe that God really delights in that. I believe that God is very over ecstatic with joy, because do you know that the Lord sings over us? That's how much the Lord desires to have fellowship with us. And yet people go through life and they're consumed with what ifs and the maybes and worries, doubts, and fears, and they let these little episodes of life overtake their thoughts, and then these little fears become big fears, and then they become a crippling aspect of life, and basically holds people back from going after God. See, the one thing that Satan wants to do, and I've said this before, Satan wants to come in between you and God. Satan does not want you to grow in the Lord. He doesn't want you to be strengthened. And why is that? Because Satan knows if you were to spend time in God's Word, reading and studying, and if you were to spend time praying, then Satan would know that you would be driven to go witness to people, to go do a kind task for somebody, or to call someone and check on them, or maybe pray, or maybe make food or a quilt or whatever it may be. Satan knows that if you do those sorts of things, that you're going to plant a seed in that person's life and in their heart, and that seed will grow inside of that person, and then what you've planted there, it will grow into something in their life, and this person will be compelled in the spirit to go and do something for somebody else. See, that's how God's love works. If we walk in the light and the love of God. And if we're imitators of that light, and if we live our lives according to the word, then you know what? The devil has no foothold. The devil cannot get in between us and God if we are staying in constant fellowship. But if we allow ourselves to go hungry, if we do not read the word, if we do not pray, then guess what happens? The hunger starts. And you know what happens? There's going to be a lot of bad side effects. Just like when you hunger in the physical realm and you have unwanted side effects, in the spiritual realm, when you're not feeding your soul and when you're not having fellowship with God, you can become a bitter person. You can become lazy and not want to go to God's house. You can get pretty complacent with life, and you could just basically look at things of life and say, well, what is the use? I've prayed over certain things before and never got the answers that I wanted. Or, you know what, I don't want to go witness to this person because they've never listened to me in the past. Why would they do it now? Or why should I get out and go to church? Because I could sit at home, turn on the TV, kick back in my recliner, and I could just watch church on TV. Well, we do know that the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's why God created fellowship. We have fellowship with God, and we have this genuine fellowship with each other. See, we can't see God with the physical eye. We can't reach out and physically touch God. That's why I believe God gave us brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe that God gave us each other because it should be not a duty or an obligation. It should be a free will of our heart that we hug one another or shake hands and love and show compassion and show that we really deeply care about others. Because you know what? When we share our love of the Lord with others, it really brings a lot of light into their life. How many of you have gone through something, maybe most recently? You know, at that funeral yesterday, the wife got up and spoke at her husband's service. I always love that. And she had written a poem for her husband. And she shed a few tears through that poem. But I tell you know what I saw in her? I saw a woman who had fellowship with God. She sat on the front row during the songs that they were playing and singing at that funeral. And this is what I saw from the back of the church. I saw her hand raised in the air. She's Baptist too. Ain't nothing wrong with putting your hands up and praising God. I want you to know that now. There's not. Because you know what? When we raise our hands up toward God, I believe that we're reaching up saying, God, I want you to take a hold of me because I want to take a hold of you, Lord. And I know that's what her life is like. I know her witness and I know her character. And she was on that front row, just had her hands up in the air, and she was praising the Lord during her husband's funeral. I thought, what an awesome testimony. She didn't say a word during that time, but her actions showed. And it really hit me in the heart. It really did hit me very strong here. And I watched the people after the funeral service as we were dismissing people out of the rows. And you know how customary it is. People go by the family and say, I'm sorry for your loss. We're praying for you. Or give hugs or give encouragement. And as that all took place, I heard people rejoicing. I heard people saying just the most kind, compassionate words. And I saw the family responding by giving hugs and by thanking people. And I know that in their time of despair and weakness, they were being strengthened and lifted up by the love of God that was being displayed through their brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that be great if we would give ourselves to God? So by serving God, by righteous living, not self-righteous, not living by our terms and how we think or how we feel, our righteousness is as filthy rags. We might think that the things we come up with in life, we might think that's the way to go, but I'll tell you what, it's not. Now the ways of God, God's righteousness is everything. God tells us in His Word how we should live and how we should conduct and how, I'm having trouble getting my mouth open here, how we should conduct ourselves and how we should be before other people and in His house on Sundays. We have to have that desire to be close to God every single day. And when we get close to God, He fills our heart. And I want to tell you that this morning. In times when we don't understand things, in times when it's all going wrong, when we're in the middle of failures, when we're in the doctor's office, or whether we're at the hospital or funeral home, whatever it may be, even in times of rejoicing, we should be seeking to be filled within our hearts by God. And we should be seeking to praise Him. Because when we praise God, they always say in the middle of a hurricane, there's the eye of the storm. And they say in the eye of that hurricane, right in the middle, it's a peaceful place. Well, you know what? When there's turbulent storms in our life, there's an eye of that storm. And in the middle of that storms, the storms of our life, there's a Savior standing there. His name is Jesus. And He is the calm, assurance. And you know what we need to do in the storm? We don't need to look at what's going on around us, but we need to focus on who's in the middle of that storm. We need to take our Savior by the hand and put our eyes on Him and say, Father, through this, I trust You. Say, Father, through this, I know that I will be strengthened and I will be able to stand. And I will be able to withstand because His Word says He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. But He fills our hearts. God wants to fill us daily. But you know what? I heard a preacher say something yesterday that really, I never even paid attention to it. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the painting of the picture of Jesus standing at a door and He's knocking. How many of you have ever actually paid attention to the door and saw that there's not a doorknob on the side that Jesus is on? There's not a doorknob there. And do you know why? Because Jesus is waiting for people to open the door and invite Him in. That's how loving and how patient our Lord is. That's how good our God is. He wants to fill us with His Spirit. He wants to fill us with good things. But you know what He's waiting on? He's waiting on you and I to invite Him in. He's waiting on you and I to get out of the way and say, Father, here I am. Take me and lead me and guide me, and I'll walk wherever You go. How many of you, if you walk with God, how many of you think that He would lead you in the wrong direction? Raise your hand. I'm glad a hand didn't go up. Because see, God will never lead. Where God takes us, He'll go with us and He'll guide us and He'll be with us all the way. But always take notice, our hearts always need to be filled, not our stomachs. It's good to fill that stomach, but it's always best to always get that heart filled. Psalm 146:7 says, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. Let me read that again. Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. Well, we already know that the Word of God, it's our daily bread. And we can... this now, you know what? If you sat down with a loaf of bread and you ate that stuff, what would happen? Well, you'd get a belly on you after a while because, boy, the ingredients... it's good stuff. And if I sat there and ate it, I guarantee you my belly would be... But you could only eat so much of it. Yeah. How many of you ever ate too much of something and then you got a little sick at your stomach? Oh, I know I have. That a couple of weeks ago, we drove down to the Amish market at Anna, and Janine found this. It's beans and lentils and wild rice and white rice. It's a soup mix, and you have to use chicken broth and cook it. Well, she made a big pot of that, and boy, I kept smelling it. I was like, oh my word, hunger pangs was really taking over on me. And we sat down and had us a bowl, and Janine says, she looked over at me and says, well, did you enjoy that? She said, your bowl's already empty. Did you even taste it as it went down? I said, boy, it was good. I said, I'm going back for another bowl. And she made cornbread and had a piece of cornbread with it. Well, I went back, got a second bowl, got me another piece of cornbread and sat down. And then I realized I'd eaten too much. And my stomach got a little upset. Well, I thank God that when we partake of this bread, it doesn't have any bad side effects. It doesn't make us sick. What this bread does, this bread gives us life. This bread gives us nourishment. This bread satisfies. And you know what? If you're truly reading it and you're studying it, you can never get enough of it. You want more and more and more. I was thinking about that the other day. Do I really read enough of God's Word? Do I really study enough? I try to get in here as much as I can, and I try to do my readings, and then my wife and I pray together. But I'm thinking, am I putting something else before God? And if I am, then Lord, show me what it is and help me get it out of the way so I can spend more time with You. The closer that we walk with God, the better we can hear His voice. The more distant we are from God, we won't be able to hear what He's saying to our heart. See, because when everything else in our life gets involved, it kind of gets in the way and we get pushed away from God. And what I'm seeing in our world today, I'm seeing a world full of people that are hurting. But you know what else I see? I see a world full of people that are hungry. But they're not taking action to have that need fulfilled. Every day, we need to have a well-balanced spiritual meal. That's by reading the Word of God and studying it, by having effectual times of prayer, and also by going to God's house and listening to a preaching of the Word. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying that I'm great. I'm not doing that. But one thing you'll never, ever see me do, you will never see me preach out of any other book. Like some, I've been in some churches where a preacher has brought in a book that somebody wrote and they preached out of it. And I don't agree with that. If you're going to get in this pulpit and preach, this is what you'll see me preach from right here, is this Word. Because this is the Word that sustains us. This is the Word that fills us. This is the Word that changes our life. And this is all that we ever need. So we should go to God's house to hear the preaching of God's Word. And you know what? If we study God's Word and know God's Word, when we hear the preaching of the word, it will hit our heart and it will reach in agreement with us. And I've always, now I've said this to people too. Sometimes I may say something just by accident. You know, sometimes you get your words get mixed up. Sometimes something may come out the wrong way and I don't mean for it to. And I always ask people, if you hear me misquote or I want you to please come let me know. Because one thing I'd like to do is get that correct and make sure I don't do it again. If you came here this morning with a poor spiritual appetite, it is my prayer today that you will leave this house hungry for God's Word. There's no other way but the Lord. You can go after, you can have everything in the world, but if you don't have Jesus, you ain't got nothing. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And you know what? Nobody can come to the Father but by Him. And when you truly have Jesus at work in your life, it'll come out in your words, it'll come out in your actions, it'll come out in your deeds. And you know what? People who see you and are around you will know what a difference the Lord has made in your life.